Thank you, Randall. Praise the Lord, saints.
Amen.
That's one. Praise the Lord, saints.
Amen.
Now you know how we do it here. One more time for the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord, saints.
Amen.
Come on, let's clap our hands for the Lord today. It is good to be here with you today at Mimosa Lane Baptist Church. Amen. We always have a good time in the Lord's house, and my joy, my love, is to study the Word of God and to share the Word of God whenever I have the opportunity. Now, I'm sorry to disappoint you today. I realize I'm not wearing my suit. Amen. And for those of you who hadn't figured it out yet, yes, I am a traditional person. I believe in wearing a suit to church. Now, you all can do what you want to do. And you're probably wondering, well, Al, if you believe in wearing a suit to church, how come you're not wearing one today? Well, I was told that it was going to be 105 degrees today. And ma'am, I have this rule that anything over 104, Mary Jo, you know what I'm talking about? Huh? Okay, anything over 104, I lose the suit. All right. So I'm without a suit today. Praise the Lord. Now, I got some bad news for y'all today. You all knowing that I am a traditional person, you know that I read the King James Bible. Jacob, I'm going to lower myself today and not use the King James. Amen. Praise the Lord. I thought you and Randall might like that.
Amen.
Yeah. So we are just happy and blessed to be. Now, you know I'm joking about all that, okay? All right. Just want to make sure. Young people, make some noise. Yes, you got to love the young people. You got to love the young people. Amen. Yeah, I was once young. I used to have hair on my head. My stomach wasn't as big as it is right now. And didn't have no gray in my beard. But I thank the Lord for all of it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I know what you young people are thinking. Well, I'll never look like Al. Just give it time. Just give it time. I remember I used to look at my dad and say, I'm glad I ain't never going to look like that. Now I look just like him. Praise the Lord. Today we feel led to preach and teach on a subject that we are referring to as identity theft. Amen. Identity theft. Next slide, please. Identity theft is the act of stealing an identity. I grew up on Miles Avenue in Cleveland, Ohio. And that part of town was known for car thieves. I'm sure I've shared this with you before. People would go to the other side of town and steal cars and bring them back to the side of town that we lived on and sell them to different people, depending upon what car they wanted. They wanted an 82 Cadillac Seville or whatever it was that the person was looking for, they would go to another neighborhood and find it and bring it back to our neighborhood and sell it on the street for $400 or $500 or whatever they could get. And they did whatever they wanted to do with that car. But nowadays, people are stealing identities. That is the strangest thing. We live not in an agricultural culture. We live not in an industrial culture, but we live in an informational culture. Hence the term the information age. And information nowadays is power. If somebody gets your social security card or gets your credit card, they can do all kinds of horrible things with that information. Hence the term identity theft. Next slide, please. Statistics. You can see up there on the screen that identity theft affects American culture in a very negative way. I don't have to rattle off the statistics. You have heard them on MSNBC and CNN and Fox News and all the other news stations. You've read about it in Newsweek magazine and the Wall Street Journal and all that kind of good stuff. You know identity theft is a bad thing in American culture. Next slide, please. Many identity theft criminals are addicted to crystal meth. Did you know that? A lot of people who write checks in the name of other people, they're passing those bad checks so that they can get the money and buy methamphetamines. I saw that on a documentary on 2020. It was the strangest thing. We don't think of intellectual crime as being committed by people who are on drugs, but it is oftentimes. Next slide, please. Definition, here we go. Here's the meat of the subject matter. Spiritual identity theft is the act of being ungrateful for one's gifts and blessings while coveting those of others. And I'm sure I'm the only one who's ever had that problem. Amen. I remember when I was younger, the person I wanted to be like the most was a guy whose name was Julius Irving. He was number 6 for the Philadelphia 76ers. He was before the days of Michael Jordan. Amen. That's right. He used to jump from the foul line. I know Michael Jordan got this. He did the same thing, but he got it from Julius Irving. He used to jump from the foul line and dunk the basketball. Awesome. The only problem is I was not 6'7" tall. My arms were not as long. Yes, brother, you are right. My hands are not nearly as big as his are. I wanted to imitate Julius Irving. I have an older brother who's 7 years older than I am. We look nothing alike. He's 6'3", 225 pounds of solid muscle. When he was in high school, he played middle linebacker on defense, and he was a fullback on offense. When he got to college, he started middle linebacker his freshman year. He was a beast. When I started playing high school football, they wouldn't let me be a middle linebacker because I didn't have the muscle that he had. I had stolen his identity, if you will. When I started preaching, I wanted to be like the popular preachers, the preachers that I admired most, people like Charles Stanley, David Jeremiah, Martin Luther King Jr., Tony Evans. Love those guys. But I couldn't articulate the scriptures the way they did. I was an identity thief. And perhaps you are here today and there are people that you have seen on TV, there are people that you've met, and you thought to yourself, man, I wish I could be as tall as such and such. I wish I could be as muscular as so and so. I wish I had as much hair on my head as Randall has on his head. Amen. Of course, things are different nowadays. You can go to the doctor and get different body parts added to yourself, and you can look like whoever you want. You can look like whoever you want to. I wouldn't recommend that. But the truth is, we are all identity thieves on some level. Next slide, please. In Genesis chapter 27, there is a very vivid description of spiritual identity theft. It is a story of Jacob and how he stole his brother's birthright, whose name was Esau. Let's read the text of Genesis 27, and we'll be reading from the New American Standard, if that's okay with you all. Jacob, is that okay with you? All right. Verse 1, now it came about when Isaac was old and his eyes were too dim to see that he called his older son Esau and said to him, my son, and he said to him, here I am. Isaac said, behold, now I am old and I do not know the day of my death. Now then, please take your gear, your quiver and your bow and go out to the field and hunt game for me. And prepare a savory dish for me, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, so that my soul may bless you before I die. Rebekah was listening while Isaac spoke to his son Esau. So when Esau went to the field to hunt for game to bring home, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, behold, I heard your father speak to your brother Esau, saying, bring me some game and prepare a savory dish for me that I may eat and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death. Now, therefore, my son, listen to me as I command you. Go now to the flock and bring me 2 choice young goats from there that I may prepare them as a savory dish for your father, such as he loves. Then you shall bring it to your father that he may eat, so that he may bless you before his death. Jacob answered his mother Rebekah, "Behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. Perhaps my father will feel me, then I will be as a deceiver in his sight, and I will bring upon myself a curse and not a blessing." But his mother said to him, "Your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go get them for me." So he went and got them and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory food such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the best garments of Esau, her elder son, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the young goats on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. She also gave the savory food and the bread which she had made to her son Jacob. Then he came to his father and said, "My father." And he said, here I am. Who are you, my son?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Get up, please, sit and eat of my game, that you may bless me." Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord your God caused it to happen to me." Yeah, right. Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come close that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not." So Jacob came close to Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, "The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau." He did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother's, Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, "Are you really my son Esau?" And he said, "I am." So he said, "Bring it to me, and I will eat of my son's game, that I may bless you." And he brought it to him, and he ate. He also brought him wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Please come close and kiss me, my son." So he came close and kissed him, and when he smelled the smell of his garments, he blessed him and said, "See, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Now may God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and an abundance of grain and new wine. May peoples serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master of your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be those who curse you, and blessed be those who bless you." Now it came about as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had hardly gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. Amen. And that is the story of Jacob deceiving his father under his mother's supervision and stealing the blessing of his brother. The sad reality is, when we come to church, we always hear these sermons about how we ought to go to the next level. You know, everybody's always looking for the next best thing or the next big thing. You go from a compact car to a mid-sized car to a luxury car. Then you go from a starter house to a suburban house to your dream house. Everybody's looking for the next best thing. Well, my question is, whatever happened to verses like, "Be content with the things that you have"? Whatever happened to being grateful for what God has given you? Whatever happened to being grateful for what God has given your neighbor? Whatever happened to us stop trying to get so much and start trying to give to one another? What happened to values in our culture? Somewhere along the line, we have lost our way, not just in the world, but in the church. We have seminars in church now about getting to the next level. We have seminars now about how we can increase the nickels and noses. You know, the three B's, the budget, the building, and baptisms. Whatever happened to just honoring the Lord? In Genesis chapter 27, there are six characteristics of identity theft. Let's see what they are. The root of identity theft is jealousy. You know the green-eyed monster, don't you? The green monster, as we say. Jacob had already tricked Esau out of his birthright, if you read the preceding chapters. Now he's going to go and deceive his father to get the birthright. That's a horrible thing. Why do we have to spend so much time being jealous of other people? We thank God for Sonia, how the Lord has blessed her vocal cords, how the Lord has given her the ability to sing and to honor the Lord again. But what kind of fool do I look like being jealous of Sonia's ability to sing? Now, let's be clear. Sonia, I don't know where you are, but girl, I can sing too. I can. I just don't sound as good as she does, even after her surgery. Amen. God has not called us to be jealous of other people. We've got the Olympics going on in London right now. That's a wonderful thing. The Olympics was designed for people to compete against each other in different sports. Competition is good in one sense. But when we start to covet other people's gifts and covet other people's blessings, that's when we get in trouble with the Lord. And a whole lot of this stuff in our churches is nothing more than covetousness. One church has a big building. The church across the street's got to build a bigger building. One person on the street's got a new car. The people down the street, they got to get a better car. I was jealous of my uncle a couple of weeks ago. He got that new Samsung phone. You know, the one where you can take the pictures and you, I guess you push a button and it goes, the picture just goes to all your friends and in an instant and all that kind of good stuff. Phones were made to be talked on. Can I get a witness? How did we get into all this other stuff? And now we're sitting down, we're having coffee, and he pulls out his phone, and I'm scared and nervous to pull out my phone because I got what they call phone envy. I used to have the latest and greatest phone. Now I got to figure out a way to get the phone to catch up with him. Got the iPhone and the iPhone 4, and now there's going to be the iPhone 4.5 or 5.0, whatever it is. Everything has a number attached to it. It's sad. Jealousy is an ugly thing. Be thankful for what God has given us. Let's be thankful for what God has given our neighbors. Next slide, please. The requirement of identity theft is what? Deceit. I love that cartoon on that screen. Two guys are hugging each other and going into each other's pockets. I'm glad we don't do that in Mimosa. Do we? Let me check my pockets. I hugged so many people this morning. Amen. Rebecca deceived Isaac. She also deceived herself into thinking that everything is going to be all right. Isn't that fascinating how the devil tells the same lie to us? In every sin, you can do this and it's just going to be okay. Do you realize we got in the mess that we're in economically? Because business people on Wall Street decided we're going to create this lie in the housing market. And all these fancy stock programs and funds and hedge funds and this fund and that fund. And we're going to cover up our lie, and it's just going to be just fine. That lie has not only affected people in this country, but all over the world, Greece, Italy, and all these other places. It's amazing. Countries in Europe, on the other side of the pond, as we say. In the name of deceit, stupidity. Let's be content with what God has given us. Next slide, please. The refuge of identity theft is lies. Isn't that interesting? Jacob decided to lie to his father and pretend to be Esau. Can I give you a little bit of Alfredology? You know what I mean when I say Alfredology, don't you? Alfredology is the stuff that's not actually in the Bible, but that I just read into the text with my little puny mind. I just don't believe that this is the first time that Jacob has lied to his father. I just don't believe that. Did you notice some language in the text? Isaac says, you know what? This is, you claim to be Esau, but you sound like Jacob. Come closer. Are you really Esau? You feel like Esau, but I'm not sure that you're Esau. I just don't believe this is the first time that Jacob lied to his father. His mother encouraged him to tell that lie. I've got a plan, Jacob, on how you can steal your brother's birthright. Go out and get some game and bring it to me, and I'll fix it up the way your father wants it. Okay, Mama, that sounds like a good idea, but I don't have the same kind of skin that Esau has. That's okay, we can fix that too. Go to your brother's closet and get some of his clothes and put them on, and he won't know the difference. He'll be none the wiser. Right? Can I share something with you? All lies catch up with us. They always catch up with us. I don't care who you are or where you're from. Whatever lie you tell, it is going to catch up with you. Somebody somewhere is going to find out. That's what the Bible says, that one day your sins will find you out. Next slide, please. The reason for identity theft. What is it? Look at that cartoon. Right? The one little boy, he's got all the toys in the corner. In that picture, he's got a basketball and a football. He's got a slinky and a teddy bear. He can't play with all those toys at the same time. You cannot play basketball and football at the same time. It just doesn't work. You can't have it all. Selfishness. Jacob wanted his brother's blessing. And then there are those famous people there, right? Isn't it? Me, myself, and I. It's always about me, myself, and I. What are they doing for me? I've got to think about myself. How do I feel? The reason for identity theft is selfishness. That's a selfish thing. To lust after somebody else's blessing. To covet somebody else's blessing. I may have shared this with you, but I never will forget. I had a lady in the congregation, one of the congregations I was serving in. She actually came to church and told me, she said, Reverend, I want you to pray for me because I want brother so-and-so to leave his wife so we can be together. I never shared that with you? I said, girl, you done lost your mind. Why don't you go out and get your own man? Chasing after somebody else's spouse. And then let me tell you what she did. She walked, now it was a traditional church building, and my study was on this side of the sanctuary, and on the opposite side of the sanctuary, they had like a little classroom, so to speak. So when you come out of my office, there was a door to the left, and then there was another door that led straight to the sanctuary. Let me tell you what she does. She marches right out of my office. Okay, I didn't handle it the best way in the world. Okay, I'll give you that. Okay, I know what you're thinking. Okay, Al, that wasn't very pastoral of you, but she caught me off guard. Okay, so she comes right out of the sanctuary, and she goes to the middle aisle, and she gets on her knees, and she starts praying that the Lord would give this guy a mind to leave his wife to be with her. That is crazy. That is absolutely crazy. Selfishness. What about that woman?
and the children that have come from that union, you're going to mess up all of that just to get what you want? Oh, no. Do you realize the same God that blessed that woman is able to bless you too? The same God that blessed that man is the same God who's able to bless you too? Don't you think God has enough power to bless the person that you're jealous of and to bless you as well? Let's get our theology right, people. They never prepared me for that in Bible college and seminary. I didn't think people would be bold enough or stupid enough. Can I use that term? Forgive me if I come across the wrong way, but that's stupid. That is really dumb. Young people, don't get caught up in that trap. You like your friend's girlfriend or your friend's boyfriend. I mean, okay, I'm about to date myself now, but when I was coming up, there was an artist who was out. Used to love this guy's music. His name was Rick Springfield. Some of y'all remember him, don't y'all? He had this one song out. I used to love this song, you know. It wasn't a godly song, but I loved it. It was called Jesse's Girl. Y'all don't remember that, do you? Huh? Right? Some of y'all was listening to it on the way over here, wasn't you? That's okay. That's okay. Now, remember, we in the Lord's house. Don't lie. Okay. No. Yeah. My 15-year-old, she likes that song, too. And every time he gets to that line where Jesse is holding her in his arms, and I just know it. You know, he says it with such force, like he's so frustrated by it. We just crack up. We laugh so hard about it. It's just, man, get your own girlfriend. Leave Jesse alone and his girl. You know, that's stupid. That is really, really dumb. Quit lusting after other people's stuff. God is able. Put your trust in him. Next slide, please. The result of identity theft. Here we go. Flight. You know what happened to Jacob after all that was over? He did it. And guess what had to happen after the result? He had to leave everybody and everything that was dear to him. He had to run. Can I share something with you? When you make a decision, ask yourself one question. After I perform this act, after I do this deed, am I going to put myself in a position where I have to run? If you do, that's not a good thing to do. Don't do that. If you know that you're going to have to run as a result of whatever it is that you're doing or thinking about doing, don't do it. Yeah, I know the grass always seems greener on the other side. And even if it is greener, that does not make it right. Next slide, please. The remedy for identity theft. Here we go. Repentance. You know, the greatest thing about the Christian faith is that when you come to God in sincere repentance, the Bible says he'll forgive you of whatever it is that you've done wrong. We have the luxury of waking up every day and saying, Lord, I'm sorry. And you've given me another opportunity to get it right today. You've given me another opportunity to serve you and honor you and love you today. Thank you, Lord. In Genesis chapter 32, don't turn there. The Bible says that Jacob got to a place where he was all alone. And the strange thing about doing dirt is that when you lay your head on that pillow at night, it has a funny way of catching up with you. As long as you're going about your business, doing what you need to do every day, and keeping your mind busy, you don't have to think about it. But when you lay down at night, that stuff catches up with you. You start saying things to yourself like, I know I shouldn't have said what I said to so-and-so. I know I should not have done what I did at work today. I know I should have done X, Y, and Z when I did A, B, and C instead. That was the kind of situation Jacob was in. And the Bible says there was an angel that came to him. Now, mind you now, Jacob had been manipulative and deceitful. And if I can use my Alfredology again, I'm sure that Jacob was thinking to himself, well, hey, I've cheated my brother. I've tricked my father. I'll just manipulate this angel. So they get into a wrestling match. And the angel says to Jacob, let go. And Jacob says, no, I can't let you go. I can't let you go until you bless me. What Jacob was actually saying is, listen, I need to change. I made a mess out of my life. I did everything wrong. And I need to change. I need you to change me. I need you to help me. The angel said, you know what? I'm going to change you, and I'm going to bless you. From now on, your name is no longer Jacob. You won't be the deceiver, the trickster, or the hustler that you've been. But your name will be Israel, for you have wrestled with God and prevailed. Have you ever had that wrestling match with the Lord? If you haven't, I want to encourage you to have that wrestling match. It's a hard thing. Because when you have that wrestling match, it forces you to look at yourself for who you really are. Not the clothes and the haircut and the makeup and all that kind of stuff that you put on for everybody else to see. But it forces you to look at yourself for who you really are. Change is inevitable. There are two problems with change. The problem that comes with actually changing and the problem that comes with not changing. See, the reason why we don't want to change is because that pain associated with changing from what we are to what we should be is just so great and so overwhelming. We say, no, I'm just going to stay on this side. But let me let you in on a little secret. You can't stay on this side forever. The problem is the pain of remaining the same becomes greater than the pain of change. There are always going to be problems in this life. You get the problems that come with living a godly life. Or you get the problems that come with living an ungodly life. Either way, you're going to have problems. So the wise thing to do would be to accept the problems that come with living a godly life. Leave that lust alone. Leave that covetousness alone. Leave the greed alone. Resist the temptation to be greedy. Resist the temptation to covet somebody else's blessing. Resist the temptation to lust after what you know you should not have. Next slide, please. Let us be thankful for our own gifts and blessings as well as others. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity that we've had to study Genesis 27. Help us, Lord, to do your will. Be pleased with our lives, O God. Lord, help us not to make the same mistakes that Jacob made. Let us come genuinely and authentically into your presence and live the way you want us to. In the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, we pray.